Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Multipod, a podcast where we talk about multipotentiality. My name is Vanessa, and here I have Ted with me co-hosting today.
How are you doing?
I am good. I am excited about our topic today because it's very relevant to me. I'm being pulled in like 8 million different directions as I want to say as usual, because it's pretty normal for me to be pulled in a lot of directions. But right now it's like really crazy. So how about you?
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's we're talking about tools and i.e. useful things you can use to help organize your life in various different ways. And so that's always useful. It's a great actionable and practical information. So I'm curious to see what we come up with. But I guess I try to find a balance, you know, between finding new tools, but also getting to know the tools that I do use, you know, because like you can always be searching for the next thing and the next thing. And I forget often with software or a whole bunch of things like a book. I mean, how many times do I not finish reading a book? You know,
it's kind of like finishing
what you started or really getting to know something before you move on. And maybe you won't move on because you realize, oh, you know, this program actually works well. And you know what a great example is Zoom. I just figured out that, I didn't know this, Vanessa told me that you can save audio files and split it into like a different file for each person who's talking when you're recording onto Zoom. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because I never took the time to like go through and learn the program the way I should, right? So that's partly what I think we'll explore today. But yeah, it's, as I say, it's trying to find a balance, you know, between, well, what might make my life a little easier or better, more organized, et cetera. And, but also recognizing what I have already, what I could maybe use better.
Yeah, totally. I also am the kind of person who starts a book and maybe doesn't finish it and goes on to another book. I think I have like 5 books right now that I'm currently reading, quote unquote. so I'm definitely like that as well. Same thing with projects. I sometimes start them and then usually get overwhelmed with something else that's a little bit higher priority or something else that will actually make me money, for example. And then I have to kind of stop whatever project I'm working on, and then I might go back to it later and I might not. Another problem for me is ideas. I sometimes have lots of ideas and I don't always keep track of them, which is not great, because I remember I had a great idea for a product like a few weeks ago and I was like, that is an awesome idea. I should write it down. Did I write it down? No. So now I don't remember it. So frustrating. Yeah. But I think
maybe we can try and jog your memory.
I know. Maybe it'll come back to me someday. I hope so.
So we want to talk about tools and in what way? Do you want to talk about like tools for making better use of your time, for recording ideas or saving ideas, for organizing yourself? Do you want to talk about just software or of course, you know, physical things? Do you want to kind of cover as much as we can?
I mean, I don't want to sort of be too disorganized, so to speak. But I think that when I think about tools that can be used for all those things, they kind of overlap a lot. So, for example, if you have a website that you like to use, such as Trello, which is one that I would recommend and can talk more about, that can help you organize your day. For example, you can move things around really easily. You can set due dates and reminders and that kind of thing. So it covers not just organizing time or organizing projects. It also covers how to meet those deadlines. And it's a place where you can also upload files that might be associated to whatever project you're working on. So I feel like lots of tools can kind of cover a few different things. Maybe we can talk about what we like to do if we're working on something in particular and how we like to go about keeping it all straight.
Sure.
I was talking about Trello, and Trello is an...
I don't know it at all. I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it is.
It's an awesome tool because it is based online, which means that you can download an app for your phone. You can use it on their website. And so they're, you know, it's portable, but you don't have to have a book or a calendar that's a physical calendar if you don't want to. And it's great because it has a very robust free version, and you can basically make a layout that works however you would like it to, and you can totally customize it to work for you. So You can create workflows, or you can just have different columns that are for different, you know, things. You literally on the website create a quote unquote card and give it a title, give it a description, give it a due date, give it, you can put in checklists so that if you have a task that actually is broken down into a lot of tasks, you can put that on there, and then you can move them from column to column. And that's really nice because you can sort of set up a workflow. You might have one column that's like to do, and then you might have a next column that's like doing, and then you might have a next column that's like done, or however you want to set it up. Like, it's totally up to you. And there are tons of examples online of how people are setting up their boards. They call them boards. And so I like to do that. I like to go and see what other people are doing and see if it works for me too. Mm-hmm. It's a great project management tool. Like, really highly recommend it. And the app is really well done as well on the phone, at least on the iPhone. I don't know about Android or whatever, but so yeah, definitely love that one.
Is it something that you can share with other people? Like,
yeah, you can add people to your boards.
Account?
Yep. You can invite them to your boards, and then they can see everything that's on there and edit and move things around and click things, you know, when they're done, check them off, and that kind of thing. And you can create a team that way too. So if you're working with a group of people, everybody can have access to the same thing, which is something I really like. Yeah.
How long have you been using that?
I started using that in 2016 when I started my job where I still am part-time, and I had never heard of it. And my supervisor was like, I've just started using this. It's a really great tool, and we basically do everything on it. So it's how we keep on top of everything that we're doing. And our supervisor can also see what's being done and what still needs to be done and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a great thing for teams as well.
So is this something you use on a daily basis?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I do. And I'm, for me personally, using it outside of my part-time job, I'm still trying to figure out the best way that I want to set it up for myself. So I'm still experimenting a little bit with that, but that's something that I'm trying to figure out. But I actually pair it also with having a physical planner. I like having a notebook, and I was bullet journaling for a while. Now I have this planner called the Happy Planner, which is actually very, like, I got it at Michael's, the craft store, and it's
okay.
It's very targeted towards women, which is fine, but it's very, like, cute, and, like, I like the, you know, it's very pretty. It's nicely made. But something I do like about it is there are these pages that you can literally, like, tear out and put back in again super easily. So it's not like you tear a page out and then you can't do anything with it anymore. You can literally stick it back in your journal and stick it back onto the rings of the journal. And so that's pretty cool.
So it's a different kind of paper or something? It's like cardboard?
No, it's just regular paper, but it has this these holes that are punched. I'm going to show Ted on our video here, which listeners can't see, but there are these... The paper is punched in a very specific way so that you can pull it off of the rings, and then you just press them back on again, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it kind of slots back on.
Yeah, I feel like this design should be made a little more gender neutral. This is very, very much targeted towards women, but I really like it. I've been using the journal or the planner since early this year, and it's nice. It also, though, I like the illustrations, and I do kind of like the girliness of it because I like pretty cute things personally, so I like to, like, open my planner and be like, oh, what a nice picture I'm looking at, or whatever. But that's just me.
Now, when you take physical notes in a journal, do you copy or transcribe it to digital format?
Sometimes.
How do you merge the two together, or do they exist like totally separate worlds?
They're a little bit separate for me. I like Trello for projects, so I like to, it's just an easier way to set up what tasks need to be done and then what subtasks might be involved. Whereas when you put it on paper, especially with a pen, you might be like erasing and scratching things out a lot. Whereas on Trello, it's all online. So you can just move things around. You can delete things. You can add things. You can change things. And it's, so I really like that. For my planner, it's kind of like an everyday type of thing, like organizing my day, organizing my time, keeping track of what's going on in the week. But honestly, I also still use my phone calendar, especially because my partner and I share a calendar. So I've kind of got a few things going on, which is not surprising being a multi-potentialite.
Well, how do you feel about that? Do you often feel like you want to centralize everything, or are you happy going to different places?
sometimes I do feel like I want to, because it's a little bit ridiculous writing things in my journal planner thing and then going on my phone and putting it into my, you know, shared calendar with my partner. It's kind of redundant, but
it might help you remember better when you, you know, repeat something or
that's what
physically write it down.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's kind of been working for me. So
I'd already try to centralize. I've been on, I don't use a lot of software really, but I guess I've used Evernote as much as possible. And I had to make the effort to. It's like I forget about it, but it is a good tool. And the free version is pretty decent. You can use it on your phone and on one computer, and they'll sync together. If you want to add other computers, I think you have to buy a membership. But if you're just using one computer and, or even maybe two computers without a smartphone, but basically you get two options. So, and they'll sync together really well, and you can create different subject headings and folders and stuff like that. So I try to use that even for just kind of daily tasks and lists, because I love making lists, and it's, you know, it's satisfying to go through a list and cross things off, and it helps you visualize the stuff you need to do. So it's good for that.
I like crossing things off lists too.
But I found like I really had to put it kind of front and center on my computer and on my phone so that I didn't forget about it. Because even though it's funny, it's like even though it's a good program, it works really well, I just get so overwhelmed sometimes by the options out there. Sometimes I would just write things down on a piece of paper or a little journal, a book, you know, a little flip book. And sometimes I'd use the just little note application in the iPhone, which I think syncs with Gmail as well.
I use the notes application too. It's like I have like 8 million places that I keep things. Maybe that's something I should look into centralizing more.
Well, that's just it. So I would use that because it was right there. And it's like if I'm just making a shopping list, it's like, oh, I don't want to use Evernote because it's a big program like this for important stuff, you know, more permanent things. If I'm making a shopping list going to the grocery store, I should use like the note application on the iPhone because I'll delete it in an hour, right? Which kind of makes sense, I guess. But then it's like, you know, you're just going back and forth. I hate hopping back and forth between different programs.
Oh, me too.
I really try to like centralize things as much as I can. So sometimes it's like you just got to let go of those little hang-ups, you know, that, and as we always say here, like give yourself permission to just do it. Just use one.
Yep, totally. I know what you mean. I hate skipping around too. It's like, I remember reading something once with, it was like a while ago, but it was, you know, productivity and multitasking is easier now with the iPhone. And I'm like in the new iPhone update. And I'm like, I don't know if I agree. It's still cumbersome.
Yeah, and there's so many options. That's the other thing too. Like when you talk about software, I mean, Trello is just one example, right? There's got to be hundreds of decent programs and probably thousands that are kind of crappy, but that help you organize your day, right? And organize all your ideas and stuff and think you can share with others. Like, where do you even begin to find something that works for you? It takes so much time. I don't have time to go through all these different programs
And try them out and see, get used to them. Yeah. Yep, totally
but,
agree.
I have, all that being said, I have been searching for a better organizing option because Evernote's good for making notes and putting down some ideas and thoughts and stuff like that. And again, you can sync it between different systems, but I should have a better planner because I use a little bit of the calendar option, but it's not, you know, it's just like a little brief entry for a calendar. I need something that really organizes projects and ideas better with deadlines and timelines and stuff like that. So maybe Trello is the thing to give a shot.
Trello is awesome. And I know a lot of people who use Trello in conjunction with a bullet journal. And I was doing bullet journaling for a while and I still kind of do with my happy planner because I can, they have these paper inserts that you can get that, you know, you can take out and put back into the notebook. So I can kind of do bullet journaling along with having the calendar in there, which is nice. And bullet journaling is nice because you have complete control over the layout of what you're doing, or, you know, you can, you know, you just get a blank notebook and you just, this part's for notes and then this page is for my calendar, and, you know, it's totally in your control. But the reason I kind of stopped doing it is it was taking a lot of time for me to actually sit down and like draw out a calendar grid and then like write everything out. So,
So we haven't talked about our guest yet for this episode, but she'll be joining us here in just a few moments. It's Nikita from the Putty Tribe. A lot of you will know her, know of her, because she's one of those putty peep who have spearheaded a simultaneous project that kind of goes alongside with the Putty Tribe and all the things we do there. But she has her own thing, kind of similar to Vicky Coombs, who was on the show not too long ago, and a number of other people. So with Nikita, her project is called Passions Pilot. It's a website with a blog and a number of things that you can check out, with various books, courses, and software that she recommends to help you focus, to help you prioritize, and kind of concentrate on getting things done. Of course, we talk about that a lot here on this show, but she's really taken this to heart in terms of helping people focus and be more productive, make the most out of your time, planning your time, and so on. So she's going to come on, tell us a bit about her story, how she developed this idea to have the website and the blog in the first place, what it's for, what it does, and a little bit more about her background. So, as I say, she's someone a lot of people are familiar with, but it'll be great to hear her voice at last. She is from Belgium, but she works in Luxembourg. The beauty of living in Europe, you just hop across the border to go to work. So that's Nikita, and I'll turn it over to Vanessa to introduce her.
Okay, so we are here with our guest for this episode, Nikita. Nikita, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to talking about this. I think that you will be able to talk about Passions Pilot a lot better than I can. So can you just give me a quick description of what it is?
Yes, well, as you told everyone in the intro, Passions Pilot is all about organization and productivity for multipotentialites. So I talk a lot about the basics of being organized, all the best practices, the baselines, and then, of course, how to put that in practice.
Perfect. So you actually have clients that you work with?
No, actually, I still have a day job. I'm an IT project manager. And so I saw a lot in my day job on how to organize. Actually, at the moment, I am in the middle of organizing an IT department and getting the workflow done. And also I have been organizing, managing projects from the very beginning till the end. So, and there's a lot of similarities. The thing is, why in business we try to organize everything in a professional way, and then for a personal life it's a little bit we just do without thinking sometimes, and so I was at a certain moment in time, I was thinking, why don't we manage our personal life just like we do in a business? And that's how Passions Pilot started.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I find that I definitely organize my business and work life differently than my personal life, which sometimes is a problem. So Nikita, I was looking at the Passions Pilot website, and something that struck me was you have this Passions portfolio, and I'm wondering what that is and how that is used as possibly a tool, as we're talking about tools, to sort of organize a multipotentialite's life.
Yes. So yes, as us multipotentialites, we always have a lot of different projects. I think it makes sense to put them all into a projects and passions portfolio and manage that properly. So that means for me is making a kind of inventory of all the things we have going on, and then putting a priority on it and grouping related projects together, and then see where are dependencies between projects, because logically sometimes one thing has to happen first or has to be done first before you can start something else. And so that, so that it is all a little bit more organized than just running after the next shiny object and then seeing that, you lost a lot of time and nothing came, you have no result, and then things that you needed to do were not done.
It sounds like part of it is almost like keeping track of time. Do you think that that's like a good tool, so to speak, of even like just writing down how long it takes you to do certain things, just to know how long they take?
Yes, I think it's a good idea to do, but it gets boring and it gets also very, you get a lot of overhead. I mean, it takes discipline and time to track your time and to say every half hour or something, now I'm doing this and now I'm doing that. But to start with, it can be very good, because actually one mistake that most people make is they're much too optimistic when they estimate how much time they will spend on a task or on a passion or a project. So in general, I think you can multiply or by 50% usually the time that you spend on something, and to get realistic estimates and not to get disappointed that everything takes much longer than you think.
That's something I need help with.
Actually, I wrote a blog post about that. Okay. Why estimates are always too optimistic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Can you, we'll put the link to that in our show notes, but can you give us a bit of a summary of what you talked about there?
Yes, well, actually, it's in our head, everything is much more easy. That's that's one thing. Everything is easier, and in general, you think, oh, it will that will only take 5 minutes. And then you look at your watch again, and then half hour has passed. Then also, there's things that can happen that make it not go so smoothly, like, you've forgotten something. Or you see that you need equipment or other material to do something and you haven't got it. Or you need ingredients and you didn't think of it. Or you see room for improvement and you think, I wanted to do it like this, but that looks like a better way. But the better way takes longer. So that are all reasons why things can take longer. And yes, and estimates are much too optimistic in general. Also, in your job, I noticed also that the higher you go in the hierarchy, if you go to the top management, they are much, much more optimistic than people who have to do the actual work. Mm. So sometimes they say, okay, we want to launch a new website. I just say something. They say, well, we can do that. I guess they can do that. But I say, no, we need much more time. But in general, then they say, no, do in 3 months. In 3 months, we need a new website. Something like that. I saw it happen. And then the 3 months are over. And then, then you say, the work is not ready. Or not all the functionality is there. And these are a little bit all the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your best advice to approach that in terms of planning and expectations? Do we just kind of double our time, or how much time we expect something to take? Or what's the best way to kind of plan ahead for how long something might take?
Yes, well, I would say in the example, in the business example, I think management should listen to the people who do the work, because they are used to it and they know in general very well how long things will take. Now, in your personal life, I think it's a good idea to track your time, and maybe not on paper, or you can start on paper and then afterwards, I have the habit on watching how much things take. And after some time, your estimates will be more realistic. And then, of course, it's also always a good idea to keep some slack time, to keep a buffer. So if something takes longer, you're not getting in trouble because you promised something for a certain date and you can't finish it. So that's one thing I always do, this is to add a buffer in my estimate.
That's something that my partner and I say to each other all the time when we're like planning our day, especially if we have a lot going on. We just remind each other things always take longer than you think they will. So we do always have to, like you said, plan in a buffer for when things do take longer. I think that's just sort of normal.
I like that idea of tracking how long something takes, especially if it's like a task you're going to do, you know, often or frequently. It reminds me of the podcast here. And when I first started doing the editing, the audio editing, and I would guess, you know, how long is it going to take to edit like 30 minutes of audio? I don't know, maybe 45 minutes or something.
Yes.
It's nothing like that. But then I started as aware. I was like, okay. And for instance, I'll do our Putty Pete profiles, you know, we talk about at the end of the episode. And I'll mention who was profiled, right, for the last couple of weeks, which is like 2 or 3 minutes usually of audio. It's not that much. And I used to think, okay, so if I need to record 3 minutes of audio, I'll do that. A little bit of editing, I should have it done and make 10 minutes. And then I finally realized, like, it's never going to take 10 minutes if I'm going to have to stop and restart, do a little bit of research and planning, make sure I know what I'm going to talk about, put it all together into the episode, blah, blah, blah. That can easily take half an hour. Now, I can work on doing that a bit faster, but at least I know what to expect now going in. So that's the key.
Totally.
And that's exactly.
One thing I'll say, too, as somebody who is partly self-employed, that it's really important when you're starting a business, and not just when you're starting, also when you've had it for a while, to know how long those tasks are going to take, because you're going to have to charge people for your time. So, and I've done the same thing with editing for sure. I have these clients where I'm like, yeah, I can get that done. And, you know, in this amount of time, and then it always takes longer. So, yeah. I wanted to ask you, Nikita, because we're talking about tools today, I'm wondering what your experience is sort of observing multi-potentialites. What are some of the main tools or habits or attributes you see that allow, that multi-potentialites are using, that allow them to live a life of balance?
Well, first of all, I would say there's some baselines in organization and productivity. One of the first things is to know what you want, because otherwise you go in all different directions and you get nowhere. I refer to Alice in Wonderland, like where Alice asked the cat, where should I go? And say, well, if you don't know where to go, you can go anyway. Then that's one thing. I see multi-potentialists struggle with knowing what they want, and that can be, that doesn't have to be just one thing, but it, in my opinion, everything is too large. It's just physically not feasible.
You mean when people say that they want to do everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think one lifetime is just not enough for that.
Yes.
So there must be some kind of narrowing down. And I don't say there must be, there's a big difference. There must be somewhere in between where you're happy with what you're doing and you're still exploring the things that you're interested in without having to choose just one. But that is the first thing. So to do that, and then the next step is to put everything in a system or in a list or everything that you want to do. I call it my dream catcher. And my dream catching system is actually in Evernote. I use Evernote, and everything I think of that I have to do, that I want to do, everything that, if I see a website that is interesting, if I see a place that I would like to visit, I put everything in Evernote. And the advantage is that you have one system where to find everything. That's one of the principles of IT, is one point of definition. So you don't need to use Evernote. I think it's practical, and I'm an IT person, so I like software. But it also can just be a notebook for people who like physical paper. And so that's one thing. Once it is out of your mind, you don't have to think about it anymore. So, and you know where to find it back. And then to really get organized, I use Trello. I think it's...
I'm just laughing because we talked a little bit before about tools that we use, and Ted said Evernote and I said Trello. So yay.
Yeah. Well, I like Trello, really. I have on my website for people who subscribe to the newsletter, I have a small course that is called Set Up Your Passions Portfolio in 5 Easy Steps. And where I'm using Excel sheets. From there, it's easy to make, to create Trello boards. And it's one step further, but it's at the same time, it's easier because I think Trello is a very user-friendly software. And you have it on the computer, you can have it on your phone or your iPad. And also what I do is I have boards for my, I call these my programs. These are related projects. And within the boards, I have cards that are my projects. And within the projects, in the cards, I have checklists. And I go, that's the hierarchy of, yeah, of how I set up Trello. And it works wonderful.
Nice. I definitely want to go check that out. And that's something that you have when people sign up for your newsletter. That's the only way they can get it?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
For the moment, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll definitely link to your website in the show notes for sure. Are there any other tools that you think people use that are really successful?
Actually, I only use those two.
Okay.
The thing is, I am a minimalist. That too. So I can do whatever I want with those two. Whatever I want for to organize everything I have going on. There's a lot of apps and to-do list apps and there's a lot on the market. The thing is that you very fast, you spread yourself too thinly and then again, you get nowhere.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. We were talking about that a little bit earlier too. There's just so many things to choose from and it takes time to learn a new program and learn how it works and to get used to it. So it's like, Who has that time? But listening decide they want to try Trello, for example, they're going to have that learning curve too. But I find personally Trello is actually quite intuitive once you kind of get the hang of it. Like it's pretty good.
Yes, it is. It is very user-friendly, I think.
I agree. I wanted to also ask, you've mentioned a lot of great tools and techniques, and then you've also sort of mentioned the pain points that people have. If you were to sum it all up in some advice for multi-potentialites who are feeling scattered or just need a little bit more control over all the things they're doing, what would your advice be?
Well, my first advice is if you feel the need to go after each new shiny object that you see, instead of just starting, write it down in Evernote and see if you can find a little bit of time, like half an hour, to see what it is about. And then decide if you have room for it in your life, yes or no. If it's how important it will be in your life compared to the other projects that you already have going on. And you can always write it down and say, okay, I'll come back to it later. Or if you think this new project needs to be a new project in your life, then okay, you can see, okay, all the rest that you have going on, what you do with it. Maybe some other things can disappear or you can put them in the freezer.
I like that.
Also, what I think is important is also what I always say is keep your projects small. And because often you start with something and it is just one task and then you see things you can go further and you want that too. And then you see things that you can improve and you want to improve. And you start with something very small. And then in the end, it becomes something huge and you get overwhelmed. So it is better to start small, say, okay, this is the scope of my what I'm going to do. You do that. Every idea that you say that you can expand your project or your passion or how you can improve it, you write it down. Again, you write it down in Evernote or you add it to your checklist or to your ideas column in a board in Trello. And then after your small project is done, you can choose, or you extend it, or you improve it, or you move on to something else.
Awesome. That's great. Ted, do you have any other questions or things you want to cover?
Well, I'm curious to, as always, learn a little more about Nikita. And now, how long have you been part of the Putty Tribe?
It must have been, 2 or 3 years.
Nice.
I know it was July. July 2015 or 2016.
So are you someone who, is, without knowing the word or the term, have you always identified as basically a multi-potentialite, maybe from when you were young, different interests and passions?
Oh, no, actually, I didn't know until a few years ago when I saw, like so many people, Emily's TED Talk.
Yes.
So that's how. But actually, when I was young, I always had a lot of interests and passions. And the good thing is, I have wonderful parents. They never limited me. Only when it would cost too much money, then they would say, oh, no, not now, or not do that when you're grown up and you earn your own money. But for the rest, well, my dad was happy to learn, well, to teach me everything that he knows. And that also was a lot. But I think he's a multi-potentialite too. Mm-hmm. And we had a large library at home. And I read, I think, every book of them. And there was so many things and a lot of language courses like Spanish and Japanese and Russian. And I would take it up. And I guess maybe also my parents were happy that I was quiet somewhere in a corner and and they could do their stuff. But actually, I grew up thinking that this was just normal. Mm. And it's later on in my life that I remember when I got my degree that we have to go to the unemployment service after finishing university. And the person there, he asked me what job do you want to do? And I couldn't answer. And then because I thought I can do many things. Mm. And he gave me a list. And then it got even worse because I said, oh, I can do this. Oh, and that too. And I could do that also. and it was actually the moment that. And then he said, no, you have to choose one. Ugh. And it didn't make sense to me.
I hate that.
Yes, it didn't make sense to me. I said, but I can do all these things. Why do I have to choose one? But it was at that moment, actually, that I realized that maybe not everyone was like me.
Mm. I have had similar experiences with feeling like I can do lots of different things and having people tell me, no, you should choose one. And I'm like, that honestly is stupid.
Yeah,
it works for some people, but I was like, I know that if I limit myself into one specific thing, I won't be happy.
No.
Yeah.
Has that caused a struggle or conflict in your working life? Are you someone who's changed jobs a lot?
Yes and no. Actually, I have a degree in arts, and I was very happy when I could join my dad in the art studio and arts gallery we had. I really was happy. I love to create. And also, I had to learn still a lot of things, mainly business things. Mm-hmm. So in the first years, I was really, really happy. But then after some years, it was like it became a job. And at the same time, everything internet was just starting, and it was so interesting. And I got very, very interested in computer science. Mm-hmm. And at one point in time, I stopped my arts business and I started to study again computer science. And from there, well, I have combined things, creating websites. But actually, when I was at that moment, when I went to look for a job in IT, people didn't take me seriously because an artist who wants to sit in an office and do IT, it's well, it's crazy. But on the other hand, I succeeded. It started with websites. Then I became a business analyst in the IT department, and then finally I was very also. I've always been very interested in how can I do more in less time. So project management was a kind of logical. Yeah, it was logical to go into that for me. The moment I get bored, then I have to do something else. When I see that there's nothing to learn anymore, then I get bored and I need a new challenge.
Hmm. I'm curious about how your launching of the Passions Pilot project, the website. It's been since about 2016, I guess, right? Or at least the blog. And how has that influenced your productivity over that time? Has it changed how you've approached projects by launching that project in itself?
I was wondering about that too.
Well, actually, it did. It gave me more understanding, because when you write an article, you need to think about the content that you put on I would say on paper, but on the computer. And also you need to get your ideas clear, and you need to see that the words that are on the computer really mean what you think. So in that sense, yes. And also, well, it's actually a kind of cross-pollination. I use things that I see in my job and that I can write about, and when I wrote articles that I wrote on Passions Pilot, sometimes I can use them in my job. So it's a good combination.
That's nice.
So maybe to wrap up, let's ask about some of your plans going forward with the Passions Pilot project. Do you have plans to add more content or programs, courses, do more writing or anything like that?
Well, yes. Now I'm doing one article per month. And I just bundled all my cornerstone articles in an ebook that I will launch soon.
Cool.
And I also have another small ebook where the writing is done, but I still have to put it nicely in ebook form. And that is one about how to set priorities.
Hmm.
So these two are coming now. And then my plan actually is to take the course, Set Up Your Passions Portfolio, in 5 easy steps, to take that offline for the moment and make it a paid course.
Oh, cool.
So people who want to subscribe now, it is still for free, and later on it will be a paid course.
Hmm. Very cool. Sounds like you've got some good stuff in the works.
Yeah, I know what to do now.
I see on the site there's something about a newsletter. Do you put out a newsletter very often?
Yes. Actually, I on Fridays, there's a small tip or advice or something funny that I send out. Very short email. Then each time that there is a new article on the website, I notify the people. So that is once a month, and that is on Tuesdays.
Okay. Awesome.
The web address is passionspilot.com. And for the rest, you can find me also on Twitter and on Facebook, also under Passions Pilot. I have a page and a group.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
And can anybody join the group?
Yes.
Great.
Yes. Everyone who is interested can join the group.
Sounds good.
They can ask, but they have to, it's a closed group. So they have to request access. And then I give them maxes, and then it's fine.
Great. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much, Nikita, for telling us all about your awesome projects and giving us some advice on how to kind of reel it in sometimes and organize our lives a little bit as multi-potentialites.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Heather Usery Knight, known to most of us, of course, is Heather UK, is the first Putty Pete profile for this week, and it's well-deserved because she has been spearheading the arguably the biggest project that's on the go right now, the Putty Comps number four. It's all about short stories. And she has been taking the lead on organizing this, encouraging people to take the month of March to write short stories and follow through on their inspiration to do so. Now, Heather's been around for a while. She joined back in December of 2015, so over 3 years. She lives in North Bay area, California, north of San Francisco. Previously lived in Norway. She says she stayed for 3 months before her parents returned to the U.S. Also Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina, Diego Garcia, Tennessee, and California is her final landing point. Now, I feel like I've said that before. It's possible she's most likely been a Putty Pete of the Week at some point. She has been on our show in bits and pieces. She was in one of the Putty-thon episodes. So we have talked to her a bit, but we haven't done a dedicated interview with her of a full episode until soon. We're expecting this to be our next episode as a dedicated interview with Jillian, who comes on our show every once in a while, and Heather, where they will talk about the Putty Comp competition and the short story project and how that's been working out. Now, that episode should come out on Friday, March 29th, which would leave a couple days to technically finish the competition. But, you know, it's a short story, and it's part of that thing that if you're inspired and you want to go for it, you could still squeeze it in. But most likely you're familiar with it already. And, of course, this will give you a heads up, this episode coming out on around the 15th of March. So, you know, you still have a couple weeks to do so. But that's Heather. You've heard lots about her. She's been on the show, and you'll learn lots more about her as well in a couple weeks. So we're looking forward to that episode. But very well earned. She's an integral part of the Putty Tribe and our first Putty Peep, therefore, of the week. Secondly, we have Philionis, a.k.a. Pauline, who's the other end of the spectrum. She just joined the Putty Tribe scarcely a month ago, on February 5th of this year. And she is currently into archery, theology, crafty things, and being the first to write a short story for Putty Comps. So there you go. She lives in the United Kingdom. Places she's lived specifically, Ruislip, UK, Preston, UK, Surfside, Florida. Hey, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Okay, in Canada here. West Berkshire, UK. She's also visited parts of France, Germany, Egypt, South Africa, East and West Coast, USA, Mexico, Belgium, Tunisia, and Brazil. She's got a great kind of mixture of interests here. She talks about being an archery instructor, a reenactor, mostly 15th century UK War of the Roses period, with interests in spinning and weaving historical hygiene, the role of women, fire lighting, and medieval food, as well as theology and the way people deal with belief, spirituality, and God, in quotation marks. But she also paints and draws, enjoys loads of crafty things, couple serious writing projects on the go, and she says she even has a little business called Shield Maiden, which is an Etsy shop, so you can find her there at etsy.com/UK/shop/Shield Maiden Heraldry, all one word, Shield Maiden Heraldry, and you can get a sense of that in her profile picture as well, showing some of the heraldry paraphernalia that she has. So that's pretty neat, something different. And that's Philionis, the second Putty Pete profile for this week. Well, that wraps things up for this week. That turned out to be a really fun episode. I really enjoyed getting to know Nikita there and both the projects, the things that she does, but also some of her backstory there as well. And it was completely unscripted. Everything that you heard there, of course, we do a little bit of planning and maybe compare some notes, but I didn't know Vanessa was going to talk about Trello. She didn't know I was going to talk about Evernote. Neither of us really knew we were going to do that in the first place. And of course, Nikita wasn't there when we recorded that intro. She joined us, just before she came on. So she had no idea that we had just talked about it either. So it was all a complete coincidence that the three of us we're on the same wavelength like that, but I guess it goes to show, you know, a good software is something that you should stick with. And, there's a couple programs, Trello and Evernote, that I think we can all vouch for worth taking the time, at least to discover. That was a good tip from Nikita, you know, take 30 minutes to do an initial kind of survey, look through a program, or a book or whatever it may be, but let's say, you know, a piece of software, take those 30 minutes, especially if you've, you know, been recommended to it or you've heard good things, right? And see if it might work for you. Then you can make the decision, do you keep pursuing it or do you obviously move on, let it go, go on to something else? I've been doing that recently with learning some video editing programs, and there's so much out there and there's lots that's free, that's like open source, other things. You download a trial, then you got to decide if you want to buy it. And, you know, I'm not going to spend hours trying out every program. I've been trying to take 20, 30 minutes, see if it works, and then make that decision. So a lot of it's just kind of that functional thing, you know, of trying to make the most of your time, not get down too many rabbit holes, and make a decision and kind of carry on and stick with it. So that was basically the gist of what we wanted to talk about today, trying to help us all focus, be more productive, as we often come back to on this show. And I think it turned out pretty well. It was a fun episode. And as I say, we're looking forward to a couple weeks from now, hearing from Heather, hearing from Jillian again, of course, as well, with lots more ideas in the pipeline. Don't forget, you can always email the show, themultipodcast@gmail.com, themultipodcast@gmail.com. You can write to us directly. We do have our landing page on the Putty's site that you can go to directly to stream past episodes. So you go to theputtytribe.com/themultipod, and you'll see all the episodes there. You don't have to subscribe to the show through an app. You can just go straight through a website and find it there. But of course, we always recommend that if you like the show and you want to get the episodes automatically on your phone, most likely, then subscribe to the show. You can do it through Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and other apps. I use Overcast myself, which kind of taps into those databases. And that one's good if you like to kind of save time and listen to podcasts a little bit faster. It has a really intuitive system where it'll speed things up and play things at time and a half or time and a quarter, whatever you want, but it won't turn it into a chipmunk, you know, like it just, people are speaking faster. It's like they're speaking like this, but it doesn't change the pitch of their voice. So Overcast is a great podcast app. It's the one I've moved to the last year or so. Anyway, as I say, you can find our show, you can contribute. Another thing I'll point out is that our podcast group on the Putty Tribe forum is continuing to grow. We've had a little more interaction there and feedback. You can comment on our episodes, of course, there. You can give us suggestions for ideas. And we've been talking a little bit more about some podcasting ideas, too, from other people or things they need help with, whether it's content planning or a bit of maybe tech setup or editing, things like that. So as always, if you're interested in podcasting, this is our chance to do it, to learn, to practice, to try out new things, to bounce ideas off each other. That's what we're here for. That applies to the Putty Tribe and all kinds of things, short stories there, writing, you know, photography, maybe website editing, maybe art of all kinds of shapes and forms, creative projects. That's what we're here for. It's to give ourselves a platform to try things out, to ask other people for their input, and collaborate on projects together. It's one of the things I really, really enjoy the most about being part of this community. So onwards and upwards. We'll keep putting out the content for you and enjoy doing so. And we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.